don't know. I think that his name in public school or even sing religious hymns that are non-denominational. Christmas can be celebrated in the schoolroom with pine trees, tinsel, and reindeer. But there must, there must be no mention of the man whose birthday is celebrated. One wonders how a teacher would answer if a student asked the question, "Why is it called Christmas?" Signed, Ronald Reagan. You like my quotable quotes? Sometimes I think our nation is going the wrong way, don't you? Now, we were privileged to work in Ohio, and Mrs. King sitting by my wife back there. I don't know if you know her or not, but I knew her husband for a lot of years, more years than we want to talk about, Mrs. King. And I told her, Brother Eric, said she only lived 5 or 6 miles from here, and I said, you ought to attend this church and join next Sunday. They were in West Portsmouth, Ohio. We were in West Carrollton, Ohio, and pretty good ways apart, but I'll never forget the first time I met Brother King. What a blessing he was to me. They ran buses all over that part of the country on both sides of the border, West Virginia and Ohio and all that whole part of the country. They, when I was there, they was running, 500, 600, 700, and sometime even 800. And when he went down, there was no church at all. And you know what? That's what we still need today. America needs old-fashioned Bible-believing churches that'll stand with the stuff and preach the gospel and not be afraid of calling the homosexual a queer. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of strong. Well, if God calls them those things, then we ought to make a stand against them ourselves. You say, well, we might get sued, so take out better insurance. You see, the reason that a lot of things were done in those days and the whole country of Sodom was and Gomorrah was destroyed was because of homosexuality. And you say, well, this is something they can't help. Folks, if you leave perversion to themselves, and that includes us, we would become perverted. All of us would. We're sinners. We don't hate the person. We should hate the sin. We should love the person and lead them in the right direction. And all of us would be delivered. I mean, we ought to be in hell itself, but for the grace of God. If we don't send missionaries around the world, or if we don't spend and send preachers and churches in this country, then we'll fall as well. You say, well, that's very bold. Well, thank you. I want to be bold, but, you know, I don't think I'm as bold as probably Jesus was, or as bold as John the Baptist was, or as bold as John Wesley was. Read some of his sermons, preacher, and it'll pin your ears back. And he preached to thousands, and it was the beginning of the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church today would not allow him to preach in their pulpit. I wonder if we would have J. Frank Norris to come back and preach in our pulpit, or some of the great men of old. I think we ought to keep preaching the truth. I admire these young men and their wives and their families. That film got to me because it was very much like mine when I was going. And you know what? I didn't know a thing about it. And neither do you. You're going green. As green as it is over there, if somebody stuck you in the soil, you'd just grow right there. But I'll pray for you. I'll help you. I'll do anything in the world to send these young men and women to preach the gospel. And God will use them, and God will grow them, and God will take these people and put them into the work that they need to be. And you got to pray for them on a regular basis. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. I'm going to take time just for a moment.
Did you get it working, Brother Mosley, or not?
It's working.
No.
It's not working. Is this working? Amen. Thank you, brother. If you would. Turn me down quite a bit, please. Turn this one off and turn this one on. Get me where I need to be. You know, it's kind of like that boy said out there in Georgia. Well, Brother Moore, if you can preach, I think I can. You know, just help you to realize that if I can preach, you can too, if God calls you. But if God doesn't call you, don't even start. We got enough of those already. Let's turn the Bibles to John chapter 10. Let's stand out of love and respect of God's Word. Verse 6, please. Then this parable spake Jesus unto them, that they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, read it with me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill, to destroy. Why does he come? I come that they might have life. Isn't that good? That they might have it more abundantly. We need that. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling, the man is hired to watch the sheep. And I guarantee you, your pastor is a shepherd. He's a sub-shepherd, but he's a shepherd. And he'll fight for his sheep. Amen? But he that is a hireling is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Seeing the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and cometh not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. And known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And folks, he has. Verse 25, Jesus answered and said unto these, I told you that ye believe not in the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them what? Folks, if you get saved, you can't get unsaved. If you get into the family of God, you can't get out of the family of God. If the Holy Spirit of God touches your spirit, makes you alive, then you can never become dead again. You can be dead physically, but you can never be dead spiritually. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God, we ask now you to bless your word. Thank you for your love and kindness for this pastor and these precious people. We know it's an effort to do the work that many have done today. Thank you for these missionaries, this church that's treated them so well. We ask you to not only give them a blessing, but a hundredfold for their efforts for these men. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I am the door. Some of you walk through some doors that come into this auditorium. Folks, when it comes to Christ, there's not but one door. Now, you know what a door is? Can you imagine what it must have been like to build a log cabin? I always kind of wanted to do that, but at my age, I need a chainsaw. How about you? Went into the jungle there and started in one of the churches in Katapadu. Out there, it wasn't nothing but just a little old pig trail. And you'd come along and you'd hit a big old wide body of water, and you said, Lord, help me to be sure and find the right path through this so I don't disappear. Get through that, and then go a little further, and finally got to this little village. As we got to this village, we told the men what we was wanting to do. Right away, God sent some, we took some of the seminary students with us. We began to go through that village in Katapadu. We knocked on, we didn't knock on doors. Bonjour! You don't knock, you clap. If you knock on some of those places, they might fall down. And sometimes they don't even have a door, so they just have a little rag hanging in front of it. We went through there, and probably, I don't know, about five or six men were saved, but their wives were not saved. That just bothered me. It bothered Marcia. Bothered our family. We put together a bahaka, just a little old deal in the ground, and made the place to where you hang the shingles on. Now, we wanted shingles, and they said, well, so-and-so, and I called his name. And I said, well, where does he live? What's his name? And I went and talked to him, and he said, yes, I can get you some shingles. Yes. How much? And he said, this much. And I said, what if I come over, bring a chainsaw, and cut all of those up? He was using a cross-cut saw for each section of that tree he cut down. That tree was about that big around. And I said, well, maybe I've got a long enough 18-inch blade. You have to go around that thing kind of weird. And he's using that cross-cut saw. Then he would take a piece of steel, a bar of steel, put it on that log, turn it up after he cut it out. And then he would take two pieces of wood, and I've got pictures of him doing. He would cut each shingle just so thick, and he would take his machete and clean that off, then put one little nail in the back of that and hang it up on this bahaka. And he had to cover that whole thing. So here he started, and so I said, I'll come over and bring a chainsaw. And he didn't understand that all real good. So I said, I'll meet you here, and usually 6 o'clock, the sun came up, 6 o'clock the sun went down. So in the tropics, it's that way. Normal's 300 inches a year. Wouldn't you like to have that? The most we had was 500 inches a year. Brother, get ready. Sometimes you think you're going to need web feet. And I'll never forget, I got over in Katapadu and met this guy, and he's a new Christian, and he had already felled the tree, and the tree was laying over in the jungle, and I went out with him and took that chainsaw, and I cranked that thing up. It's kind of like that Texas Aggie said, what's that, you know? Rum, rum, rum. And as hot as it was in that jungle, it would only run so long. And as I began to cut those logs in two, and he began to hammer those out, he could do his time in half the time, or a third of the time. When I got through and he had done all of the fixing of that, I didn't charge him anything. He didn't charge me anything. Charged normal price, and that's fine with me, because a man in that day only made $2 a day. You can't live on that. Folks, they can't there either. They just buys a little beans and rice. Guess what? It's still $2 a day. And when I got done, he said, may I borrow your chainsaw? I said, no, can't do it. I need it. And he fixed that bahaka, and we put up speakers on the front of it and started having services in it, and took a student out there and let him preach, and had some other students, and they sang. Folks, it's not easy to start a church no matter where you go. I don't care what you call it and where it is. The Catholic Church hadn't been opened in almost two or three years, so they started sending someone out there and told them how bad it would be if they ever went to our church. And you know what? You think it's not good, but folks, you have no idea. For the Shama, the one that puts on all of those evil spells, and the one that plagues the people, in order to be a Shama, his last rites are performed by the priest, and they give that to him in Baling, and they issue in. Everywhere the Catholic Church goes, they engulf whatever is there. It's biblical, like America, then they're more biblical. In that part of the country, they are not biblical. Folks, I really don't envy the missionary, but you need to pray for them. The devil works 10 times stronger. Jesus said, I am the door. Now, let's think about this just for a moment. Here you find the healing of the nobleman's son, but here you find the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5. Here you find in chapter 10, Jesus talking about the door. Actually, he's talking about the door of the sheepfold. Now, I don't know where you believe this or not, but Jesus, I don't believe, was born on December 25th when the lambs come forth. What do you mean, preacher? Well, Jesus would have been born when lambs came forth, like in April or May or spring. They would go out and take their sheep, and they would build this big stockade around it, and they'd have one door to come into. All the shepherds would bring their sheep, and they would put them in together, and they would have the oldest, wisest shepherd to lay across that door, and the other shepherds would lay behind him. When it come morning, each shepherd would take out his sheep, and they would call them by name. They would follow him. Folks, Jesus Christ is Lord and Master and the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, and we will follow him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm following the right shepherd. And so, that door was only one door. It was round to where you couldn't get in it. The only one that got in it would be a thief and a robber. So Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Then he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, that's a Baptist term. No, that's a biblical term. Being born again, John chapter 3 of Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Oh, that's you Baptist. Did you know a lot of denominations take up our terms like being saved or being born again or being old, and they give their own interpretation of these. And you know it if you've talked to people. Now, Marcia and I had the privilege of 1986 to go to the country of Israel, and they had just uncovered then the pool of Bethesda. Now, Bethesda had 5 porches, and it was built around a mineral spring. They said in that day, don't ask me, I don't know. I don't understand it, and I don't know. I'll ask the Lord when I get there. But when the waters were stirred, the first person in to the pool, when the waters were bubbling and were stirred, they thought an angel came and stirred it. First person in was healed. I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask the preacher. Can you imagine the crowd around this little pool? In Croatia, if you had that, you'd have so many people around it, they'd be diving in there before anybody else could get in. This was the Jewish people. Can you imagine the pale, the sick, the blind, the deaf, the lame, the disfigured, the halt, the horrible disfigured people and fearfully, painfully racked with their all their comforting relatives. Can you imagine all the elbow jostling one another? And one eye anxious on the pool and the other eye envying, watching their neighbors. They had just uncovered this 20-something foot deep. It didn't look like it did in Christ's day, but that's this same pool. That's how deep you would have to go to find exactly where Christ had walked. Because each time that Jerusalem was sacked and rummaged, they just covered it up and kept building on top of it. And I'll never forget looking at that, and I thought of this scripture and thought of these things, and the angel comes suddenly down, and all at once maybe the gas bubbles start coming up, or the water something did something, and they must be ready to make that dash, and then the first person there gets healed. Lucky dog, he got healed. He was first in to catch that magic, that angelic touch. At the first sign of that intermittent gas or bubbling, what a riot must have broke loose. Listen to this. Shouting and cursing and scrambling and pulling and hauling. Each one trying to shove one another out of the way and trampling over everybody else that was in their way. And all these sufferers trying to get into the pool first. Tripping and tumbling and the mad rush to be the winner. Sounds like Walmart. Yeah, I'm not kidding. The day after Thanksgiving, people have gotten killed if you work for Walmart. Just trying to get in there to be the first to get their prizes. In the midst on this quiet Sabbath morning walks a lonely figure, much like everyone else. But this man walked through and began to look in each person's eyes. This was the Christ, they knew it not. He saw their mind, he saw their face, but more than that, he was God, he saw their lives. His kindly eyes began to scan from face to face, and then being God, knew everything. And life after life, and heart after heart, and thought after thought, he sees a man sick for 38 years. How long have you been sick with sin? He saw a man sick for 38 years. He knew how long he had been there. Sir, would thou, Jesus said, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be well? He said, sir, I have no man to put me in. I have no missionary to tell me about Jesus. I have no man to put me in. He thought he's talking about being put in there. He's talking to the Lord of Lords. He's talking to the God of Gods. He's talking about the Holy Savior. And he knew it not. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He will be healed. He will be changed. There'll be something happen in your life today if you take Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I think in John chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me, just a couple of pages over, I want you to read verse 32 with me. John 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth. Now, a lot of times when I quote this verse, I leave off from the earth. And you do too, probably. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, he didn't say the elect. Those people in Brazil, those people in Croatia, those people in Europe, those people in deepest dark Africa, those people in Oklahoma and Texas, those people in New Mexico and around the world, need to hear about Jesus too. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said to signify what death he should die. Folks, did he die? Say amen. Did he come back alive again? Is he alive today? If he is today, then he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is the only one door that there is. There's only one door. Wouldn't it be funny if we could just make all of this turn to a round room, but no doors? That'd be a nightmare. You mean people to walk around and around this thing trying to get out? Hey, there's no door. Do you know how many people, 7 billion people in the world, that are walking around and around and have no door? Oh, but we got the keys to the kingdom. We got the door. Huh? There's no other door. There's only one door. And that door is Jesus Christ. This man must have been pretty sad. 38 years he'd been waiting. How long did you wait before Jesus got a hold of your heart? Preacher was saying something about Brother Dan Crawford, his dad. I didn't know that he had got saved that late. How old was he when he got saved? 27. 27 years he'd been in the waiting. How many of you got saved before you were 12 years old? Would you raise your hand? That's a bunch. All right, put your hand down. How many of you got saved between 13 and 18? Would you raise your hand? That's pretty good. How many of you got saved from 19 years old and older? Raise your hand. That's quite a few too. That's good. You know, today, if you don't win children to the Lord before they get about 12 or 13, you probably won't reach them. It used to be like the age of 18 or 19, like teenagers used to be. Folks, we need to win them at any age. At any age. I am the door. I am the door. If I be lifted up above the earth, I shall draw all men unto me. The most sublime poetical figure, or none too glorious to describe him. But he chooses homely things. What do you mean? Just look around. There's not a whole lot of us that are real handsome. Except Brother Eric. Well, you know, we're not perfect, folks. Listen to this statement and don't ever forget it. The only sane, perfect human being, hear me? The only sane, perfect human being is Jesus Christ. He's perfect. He's Lord. And the rest of us, we kind of have our little twitches. We have our problems. Somebody said, well, he's not all there. And I said, yeah, but us people that are not all there are the happy ones, you know. Just keep working at it. You'll get it in a minute. What a wonderful Savior. This glorious man. But he chooses homely things. He chooses a simple thing like door. Even a 1.5-year-old can say door. And knows what the door is. I mean, simple. A door. A door is a common object. Jesus would have us often think of a door. The door. The door. In this homely illustration, we see, number one, is a necessity. We used to have 3 rooms and a path when I was a boy. I was reared by my grandparents. Still, 3 of the boys were still at home at my grandparents' house. We had 160 acres. We had 3 rooms and a path. How many of you know what the path is for? Rest of you don't know about outhouses, but maybe you'll be taught. And brother, the first time you go in Brazil, I'd like to see your face. This ought to be on YouTube. You know, your wife better not even go with you. What a place. I've been there, done that. You know, I didn't even buy the t-shirt, you know. They just have acts. I'm not even going to describe it. It's a necessary room. The first thing is necessity. Suppose there had been no door. What would you use at your house if we had not doors? Can you imagine the old-fashioned doors? They built the logs and they put one door in the front, a lot of times away from the north wind. And they would build that, they would try to cut it with a cross-cut saw, and then they would put a zigzag on it so it helped hold it up. Sometimes on both sides, they'd make it real heavy. They'd take some animal skin or some kind of hide that was tough, and they would take that and use it for the hinges, sometimes the full length of it, and would fix that as one big huge deal, and they'd keep it open during the day. At night, they would pull it in. They'd have a bar on the other side that would do like this. It would be straight across, and it would do like this. All right, they'd fix a thing above it to where when it latched, it would latch on both sides. It would have a little string of rawhide, a hole in the door. It would go out, and it would drop outside. That means that you can come in. The latch is open. You can pull that string. It'll pull that thing up. You can walk in. Folks, guess what? Jesus is the door, and the latch is on your side. Just pull it. The door is open. I am the door. Now, it had to be crude in those days. It had to be crude in some of the pioneer days. But I got news for you. Jesus is the door, but He's fixing a place for you and me that's 1,200 miles cubed. It's called the New Jerusalem. It is a beautiful city that's 1,200 miles in height and width and depth in every direction. It has 12 layers. It has the ability to walk through gates of solid pearl. And preacher, I don't know where in the world they found the oyster that laid this pearl, but I'd sure like to see the pearl and I'd like to see the oyster. And I want to see the guy that cut it and made it into a door. Jesus is the door. He sits on that throne. And out from underneath that throne flows the waters of living water. Here the living water, this river that comes down through there that has trees, that bears all 12 manner of fruits for the healing of the nation. Father knows that I'll be sitting right there on the bank next to Brother Eric. He and I both will have our poles just fishing. Well, if you don't catch nothing, we don't care. We got all eternity to catch something. We're not going to get hungry. They don't have bathrooms in this place. Isn't that good? We don't even have to build a bathroom there. We won't have to get hungry or thirsty. We don't have to worry about it. If we get a little one way or other, reach up and grab one of those fruits and just take a bite and you'll be well. Our Jesus is the true door. He says to this man, I am the door. The necessity, suppose there had been no door, we would never have entered into God. We would never entered into peace. We would never entered into truth. We would never enter into salvation, and neither will these 7 billion people if we have not the door, Jesus Christ. I am that I am has sent me. I am the door, Jesus said. Necessity, truth, peace, salvation, purity, heaven. Never be able to go into righteousness. Never to be in God's grace. Never to feel free of sin. Aren't you glad when you got saved? Aren't you glad when you said, Lord, please forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Some of you missionaries already said, that missionary that got the best suit, that sorry devil. Oh, I'm just kidding. They wouldn't do that, would you? A door is a common object. And Jesus would have used this thought. The door is necessity. Two, it was singularity. There was singular. There was not more than one. There's only one door. Folks, there's still only one door. There's not all these ways you can get to heaven. There's not any other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, is the door. First, you got to think, let us not weary ourselves to try to find another door. Well, there's all kinds of doors in this place, but if it was what the Lord was talking about, there would only be one. It's singular, only one. Acts 4:12 simply says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not Mohammed, not Buddha, not Confucius, not any religion you can think of. Why would you look for another door when there's not a door? There's only one, and we need to take it. Third of all is personality. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the door. I love this. Saith He, not ceremonies, doctrines, professions. Someone asked me about our church and started naming all kinds of things. I said, no, man, we don't have any of that. You know, it's kind of like all of these things they do and all these ceremonies and all the things you have to do in order to get to heaven. Folks, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and personal relationship with Him. It's not through sacraments. It's not through baptism. It's not through any other thing. I want to ask you a question. Why would Jesus want to be baptized? He's God. He came to John, who was sent from God to baptize. He did it as an example for not just His disciples and calling His disciples, but He did it to not only show us, but to show them that He was still in obedience to the Father. When you get baptized, it's out of obedience. He had opened His ministry. He started His ministry from that day. He went into the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted of Satan. You'll find Him doing all that He did because He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by Me. That's what Jesus said. Then notice the users of this door. They're not merely observers or knockers at the door, or sitters down like we have in Boston, or guards that march to and fro in front of the door, saying you can't enter in unless we give you permission, and you can't enter in unless you go through this sacramental deal or this baptism or... But they entered in by faith, love, experience, and communion with Jesus Christ. Lord, I accept You as my personal Savior. You're the only one that can save me. I believe that You are the Christ. I believe that You are the Lord. I believe that You are my Savior, and I accept You as my Savior. Folks, if you don't believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin 2,000 years ago, being God, then you can't go to heaven. There's only one way, only one door. They are persons who have the one qualification. They do enter in. The person is any man, if any man. But the one requirement is to enter. When somebody knocks on your door, you go to the door. Now, we have an outside door that's clear glass. Supposed to be one that you can't break, but I don't believe that. You reach up, you open the door, and say, may I help you? They want to enter your house. Look out, they're going to sell you something. I've already got Jesus Christ. What else do I need? Or there might be someone that has a coat, not a coat, but a tie and a shirt on and have a funny looking bag with you, and they want to give you about something and talk to you about the world situation. Well, I invite them in if they want to come and watch one little film before we start. They won't. Well, they say, I got to go. Sorry. Can't watch your film. They go from door to door and put Baptists to shame, don't they? A door which is consequently marked the door is evidently meant to be used. You mark the restroom, men and women. Do you know the word for men and women in Portuguese? Marcia and I didn't know, and we didn't know which one to go in. And I dare tell you, Miss Marcia went in the wrong one. It said omen. It just needed one letter, which would have been women. Instead of an H, it would have been a W. Now, am I correct or not? Sound good to me. She said, I knew I was in the wrong way. She was real sick. She went in there. Miss Nettie Davis, one of the veteran missionaries' wives, went in after her and said, you're in the wrong one. She said, I figured that out when I saw the urinals. You know what? Going to a different country is not necessarily easy. It's not easy. It's not easy on your family. My daughter, when she got to Miami and we come home, she said, Mama, where's the chain in the box that you pulled the chain? And Marcia said, Sugar, they don't have a chain in a box. You just get up off of that thing and it'll flush itself. Two rooms in a path, three rooms in a path. Folks, I promise you, you that are missionaries, you'll spend 24 hours a day almost trying to just keep alive, not less to witness. Enter in. This is the door. Folks, you can put a sign out here and says, Heritage Baptist Church. Nobody's going to come by and visit a Baptist church. You're going to have to go out there and get them. You can put a sign up that says, the door, the only way to heaven. They're not going to come through that door. You have got to go get them and tell them about Jesus Christ and what He's done for them, how they can have their sins forgiven and how they can be free, how that they got first time in their life they can enter in to Jesus Christ's grace and have every sin forgiven and be happy again. Then the privilege of these users. You and I that know Jesus Christ and we've entered that door, we entered into salvation. If you enter in, you shall be saved. There's no doubt about it. And you're going to be saved eternally. At once, forever, completely, never to worry again. You get into this, you joined up, this is God's army, there's no deserting. Because you can't get away from God. We've had a few deserters. And Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world, Paul said. Few deserters, but remember, God is the one that brought them in. He's the one that will take care of them. Then liberty. He shall go in and out and find pasture. You see, the sheep were not some kind of slaves. You go in and out into His fellowship, into His grace, into His love. He loves you. He made you a free moral agent. You take a choice to whether you're here tonight or not. Amen? You made a choice. And then the access shall go in for pleading, for hiding, for fellowship, for instruction, for enjoyment, for His embrace. He loves you. He wants to wrap His arms around you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to know what you've done wrong. He shall go out for service, go in for comfort, the nourishment, and find pasture. Preacher, I know you feed your people. I do. Spiritually, I think they're fat. I think they're well fed. You know what? That's what we ought to do as preachers. We ought to preach the gospel. But that's not the end of it. We should go out and bring them in. We should go out and bring them in. As Jesus looked at this man, wilt thou be made whole? See, you and I have to do the same thing. We have to go out there in the cesspools of this world, tell people about Jesus Christ. He said, I have no man. I have no man to help me in. Here he's on a cot. He can't move. Jesus just reached down and said, get up. Take up your bed and walk. He didn't know who Jesus was. They got on to him for carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Well, I don't know who he was. The man said, get up. Listen, Jesus, when he heals you, he doesn't ask your permission to do it. He just does it. You'll be coming up. He didn't have to go and get therapy to learn to walk. He got up. He walked out. And you know what? Jesus is still in the saving and the healing business. And he can heal us tonight. And he can use us tonight. And he'll use these men of God around the world. Oh, my. What a tragedy it is if we don't believe him. The man could have walked maybe two or three steps and said, I can't do this. No. He walked out carrying his bed. Jesus slipped away because there were many people in that area that were sick. Hey, isn't that old so-and-so that used to lay right there? Isn't that so-and-so been here 38 years? Everybody knew everybody. I want to ask you a question. When you got saved, did you pick up your bed and walk? Did you give up on the old place that used to hide? Give up the old place where you used to be? Did you tell everybody about what Jesus did for you? Then keep telling it. And Jesus will continue to heal and use your life. There are not a half dozen ways out of our sins, miseries. Not a choice of ways over the steep hills and desolate way of waste places and the morality of life. So that by any of them, we may reach heaven at last. But there's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one door. There's only one direction you can go. And that's through Jesus Christ. Now, if there's only one way and there's only one door, then these missionaries are doing the right thing going to the field. But how are they going to get there unless we help them? I said, Lord, I believe there's only one door, but I'll give $2 this week to help some missionary out. Don't overdo it now. You let God lead you. Lord, not $50. Man, that'd make my payment at the end of the month. Every week give $50. Every week give $5, I could go. I'd spend that on Cokes. I could give that. Folks, get real. If you really believe this is the only one way, then start letting God speak to your heart. I know. I challenge this every September when my conference comes and I say, well, Lord, look what I'm doing now. Lord, I'm giving $500 a week. How much more you expect of me? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. What about us? We're not doing little bit compared to what he did for us. We've got stuff in our garages. We've got stuff in our houses. I've got stuff in my barn. I could sell all of that stuff and give it to missions and it'll be forever. But where it is now, it's not worth a dime. We're all guilty. All of us. We've got stuff everywhere and we don't know what to do with it. Can you imagine in some of these communistic countries having to hide to go to church? Can you imagine some of these countries, it's against the law to worship? And they go into a little hut and some come here and some come there. We're bringing in this American preacher and they sit on little stools and they have a little bitty light and they begin to ask this preacher, well, now, preacher, what about this? Teach us about that. And, men, I'm not talking about a little 30-minute message. I'm talking about hours upon hours. And they're not tired. Say, oh, no, preacher, let's don't stop. That's called kind of like saying sick them to a dog, isn't it? But I guarantee you what I've read. Some preachers have gone hours and hours and hours, even till the morning dawn, but they don't get to hear a preacher. They have one or two little leaves of their Bible, and they ask about those words of God, and they don't have a Bible. We have a Bible in every, we have a Bible in our house almost in every direction you look. But folks, let's send them, or you go yourself. Which one in your family you want to go for you? Your grandson? Your son? Your daughter? Which one? Would you be willing to send them? Let's send these. Let's pray. Jesus, you said you were the door. I commit this message to the heart of the people. These people came for a blessing. These people came for the Word of God. Bless them and use them. And would ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.